Chief Medical Officer's Log, Stardate 42943.1. I have just completed the annual medical exams on the crew, with Lieutenant Commander Francis White once again being the last officer to be examined. His constant reluctance to perform this required duty continues to be illogical, as is his insistence, upon finally submitting, that he be examined for tracking devices and bugs. Why he would believe that he has encountered some form of insect infestation is still beyond my level of understanding. Nurse Crawford insists that he is referring to a form of listening device, but I find this highly implausible, as anyone who would want to listen in on his conversations would simply need to open up a channel through his communicator. Nevertheless, Lieutenant Commander White has once again been diagnosed as healthy and free of infestation. End log. Computer, prepare musical selection Savar Rho Delta. Begin playing when ready.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Am I disturbing you?
Of course not, Captain. The doors to sickbay are intended to always be open to enable those who need my attention to gain entrance.
Well, I heard the music playing and didn't know if I caught you on a break.
If I required solitude, Captain, I would have retired to my quarters. What can I do for you?
Well, Doctor, I have a pet aboard that I would appreciate you taking a look at. I must warn you that it's a bit unusual and has been known to surprise people in the past.
I am Vulcan, Captain, and a specialist in xenobiology. I doubt there is anything you could have kept aboard this vessel this long without others knowing about it that could surprise me.
Okay, but don't say I didn't warn you.
I feel as though I must remind you, Captain, that I am Vulcan. I do not have a sense of humor.
I would never have guessed. This isn't a joke, Doctor. This is my pet. It is a silicon-based life form originally discovered on Tevalon 4, when there still was a Tevalon 4.
Silicon-based, you say? Has there been a study for similarities between this creature and the Horta?
When we first learned of Kirk's encounter with the Hortas, Dr. Forrest, Damien Oldfield, and myself did an in-depth study, hoping that we could discover some basic connection between the two creatures. Unfortunately, the only similarity they seem to have is the fact that they are both silicon-based.
I see. What seems to be the problem?
No offense, Doctor, but you took to Martini's sentience a lot quicker than most. With the exception of Dr. Forrest, who had received prior warning, everyone else seems to need a lot more convincing.
There would be no point to becoming offended by your question. Even if I were capable of doing so, you are my captain, and stated that you were not joking. I don't need any further convincing than that.
I guess rank does have its privileges.
I must say, though, that you are showing a measured amount of restraint, Captain. Your attitude towards the welfare of your pet is calm, whereas most humanoid species would be reacting emotionally. It is most logical of you.
Oh, trust me. I've done the panic mode before. But after 200 years together, I realize that whatever the problem is with Martini, it will probably pass with proper treatment.
This brings me back to my original question.
Ah, yes. Well, Martini consumes dust particles.
Yes?
Right. Anyway, while I've been putting out the typical amount of dust particles for him, he hasn't been eating.
Does the creature typically go any length of time without eating?
Only when it's getting ready to shed. But it shouldn't be ready to do that again for at least another 70 or 80 years.
Are there any other occasions that you can think of?
Well, it's capable of going without for a week at a time without experiencing discomfort, but it has been closer to 2 weeks this time around.
And I take it that you have not sensed any discomfort from it?
Correct. How did you know?
If you had, you would have brought this to me earlier.
Good point.
Where did you get the dust particles from?
I buy them.
Captain, is there a reason you have been pausing during this conversation?
I've come to expect reactions to these kinds of statements.
Must we go through this again, Captain?
I know. You're Vulcan. It's just a bit unnerving that you aren't unnerved.
I'm sure you will be able to adapt, Captain. Now, more detail on where you get the dust, if you will.
I usually import it from Earth, when I don't run across a dust merchant on an alien planet.
And your latest supply? Where did it come from?
I was able to pick some up when we were on Kalatos. There was a very helpful young man there who was selling dust on a street corner.
I see. Would you retrieve the supply that he sold you while I begin a preliminary exam of the patient?
I suppose so. Do you think that maybe the dust was tainted?
We must not rule anything out.
Okay, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't you two run off.
That would be highly illogical.
Of course it would.
Ah, Captain. Just the man I was coming to see.
Good afternoon, Commander. Is there something I can do for you?
No, sir. I was just coming to check and see how you were doing. Is Martini feeling any better?
Nothing's changed. So I took him to see Dr. Savar.
Ooh, Harry, I thought you were fond of Martini.
Now, Commander. Remember, the good doctor is very accomplished in the field of medicine. I have absolute confidence that Martini is in good hands.
I'm sure you're right, Captain. After all, it would take an awful lot to offend a pet rock.
This, too, is true.
What do you have there?
It's the recent batch of dust I picked up from Martini. Savar wants to examine it.
Does he think someone might have spiked your dust?
We must not rule anything out.
Well, I've warned you about dealing with those dust peddlers. I mean, who besides you is going to go out and buy dust?
I'm not real sure. But there must be enough of a market on those planets to warrant having a supplier.
And you're sure that it's not some...
No, it's not drugs. I learned to be careful on that one back in the 22nd century.
Really? I don't think I've heard that story before.
And you won't, either.
Now you've really piqued my interest.
Good. Always a good sign of a storyteller. Leave them wanting for more.
Well, Captain, I think this is your stop.
Are you going to come in and give the doctor your regards?
No. I've got other things I'd rather do.
Like what?
I don't know. Maybe help an ensign scrub a plasma conduit.
With a toothbrush?
Whatever it takes to keep me out of there. Have fun, Captain.
Did you bring the dust, Captain?
That is what you sent me out for, wasn't it, Doc?
Yes.
Then wouldn't it be illogical of me to return without it?
Many humanoid species do a lot of things that are illogical, Captain.
Well, you've got me there.
May I have the dust?
Here you go.
Intriguing.
You know, that has got to be the first time I've ever heard anyone refer to dust as intriguing.
It isn't so much the dust, Captain, as much as the atomic structure that it is comprised of.
Are you saying that it's something other than plain old dust?
No, Captain. That's exactly what it is. Plain old dust from Kalatos.
Okay.
Kalatos is located in the Salvaria sector, which has three self-orbiting suns.
I know, Doctor. I've been there. It's quite a sight to see.
But what you do not see is the impact of having three moving gravimetric bodies and the high levels of radiation they have on the objects within that sector. While visitors are not affected due to their short-term exposure to the environment, creatures and objects within the area are severely changed by it.
Okay, I could see that.
This particular dust is comprised of atmospheric dust, which is caused primarily by soil dust lifted into the wind, pollution, and sloughed skin cells. Those skin cells, after being affected by the radiation and combined with the pollutants in the air, cause this particular dust to have a different chemical compound than that of standard Earth dust or probably any other form of dust within the quadrant.
Is it poisonous to Martini?
No, I don't believe so. It is more likely that it has somewhat an altered texture and, for lack of a better term, taste.
Let me get this straight. He isn't eating because he doesn't like the taste of his new pet food.
Simplistic in nature, but accurate nonetheless. Yes. I believe you know that I'm not being humorous, Captain.
No, I know. It's just a rather amusing situation.
I do not see the humor in it. Your pet refuses to eat based on personal preferences.
I know, Savar.
The logical thing to do would be to continue feeding it this food until it overcomes its finickiness and conforms to what is available.
Or I could just change back to the brand he likes.
I suppose that is an option as well.
Well, I appreciate the help, Doctor.
That is what I am here to do. I hope that the next time I see the creature, it will be under better circumstances.
Next time.
Of course. As an occupant of this starship, it is required to have a yearly exam, just like everyone else.
Permission to speak freely, Admiral.
By all means, Doctor.
You're pulling our legs, aren't you? You made all of that up. I mean, if this thing was a sentient creature, the last of its kind, wouldn't we have read about it somewhere? Unless, of course, you never reported its existence to Starfleet.
Of course we reported it. But keep in mind that we first discovered it during the Earth-Romulan War. Starfleet had a few other things on its mind at the time, and as the years rolled by, people just didn't seem to care all that much about a single, small, silicon-based life form. Besides, half of the people who heard about it didn't believe it, just like you don't now.
Well, I'm definitely picking up synaptic impulses, and if these records you gave us aren't real, then you went through a great deal of effort to pull a prank.
And I think an admiral has better things to do with his time than to go to an elaborate joke like this. At least, I certainly hope so.
So, I've finally convinced you both.
Of course, Admiral.
Good. So what have you come up with, then?
It's not so much what we have as what we can eliminate. Based on the symptoms Martini has shown in the past, in comparison to the symptoms he is showing now, we can rule out infection, shedding, fever, and tastes.
Yeah. I would have realized it if it was any of those.
So when you've ruled out the probable, whatever is left, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.
Sherlock Holmes?
Paraphrased, but yes. According to Commander White, Arthur Conan Doyle met a Vulcan and based Holmes off of him.
An interesting theory. Short, dark hair, pale complexion. By the description used, I can see some resemblance, I suppose.
All things considered, it's one of his less off-the-wall theories. As long as you're willing to ignore the fact that Doyle created Holmes in the 1880s, and the Vulcans didn't arrive on Earth until 2063.
Oh, I'm sure he has an explanation for that, too.
I'm sure.
Tell me something, Admiral. This small lump on Martini, has it always been there? It's not on the medical reports.
What lump?
Right here, on the rear, or at least I assume it's the rear left quadrant.
Now that you mention it, no. I've never seen that before.
You've owned it for over 2 centuries. If you haven't seen it before, I'd say it wasn't there. Maybe we should try and remove it. Try to biopsy it.
You think it might be cancerous?
Let's not jump to conclusions, gentlemen. While there may be a great deal of research done on this little thing thanks to the Admiral, we still know very little.
Let's see what you've got there.
I'm working with the EEG readings and comparing them to the previous readings. Are you seeing what I'm seeing, Doctor?
I'm not sure. That background static is messing with the readings.
Background static?
I'm picking up some emotions from Martini. Do you sense them as well, Admiral?
Yes, though it's a bit confusing for me, as it goes against his behavior.
You mean the sense of euphoria?
Yes. Pain or confusion, I could understand. But he's far too happy for the condition.
Given the evidence I'm currently seeing, I think that may be the wrong pronoun.
Someone care to let those of us not blessed with extrasensory perception in on the conversation?
Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Yep. I think he is a she and that she's pregnant.
Asexual reproduction?
I don't see why not.
You mean?
Congratulations, Grandpa. Martini's going to be a mama.
I don't believe it.
So I take it you changed your mind about publication?
No way. I'm definitely in.
You have been listening to Star Trek Eras, Episode 5, Martini, starring, in order of appearance, Josh Price as Dr. Raphael Esposito, Matt Gulliver as Dr. Jother Quarry, Jim Caswell as Avery, Doug Zeitlin as Lieutenant Commander Eugene Westlake, Jerry Halloran as Dr. Max Rembrandt, Steve Kane as Ringo Starsky, Justin Bills as Dr. Hawkeye Forrest, Eric Greva as Dr. Savar, and Matt Halloran as Commander Patrick Connerly. Eras is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, with Star Trek being the property of Paramount Studios. Copyright 2010. Martini was written and mixed by Jim Caswell, and edited by Ken Halloran. Music was composed and produced by Matt Halloran. Additional music was composed by James Horner. This episode is dedicated to Shira Bella Halloran. Welcome to the universe. This has been a TORPS Online presentation. Thank you.